G'day everyone, I'm Jude and thanks very much for tuning in to The Journey this week. I hope you're having a great weekend wherever you are, right around the country, and are ready for a jammed, packed edition of the show today. Footy season's hotting up right around the country, isn't it? So whether you're an AFL fan, follow the NRL, or both, I hope you've got plenty to cheer about at this pointy end of the season, even if your team isn't in the finals. I hope you've got something to cheer about, and if not, well, I hope you'll be cheering by the end of the journey today because we've got a great show lined up for you this week. Today on the show, we've got so much to get through. We'll be hearing from our good friend, Sister Hilda, from Jamberoo Abbey, star of the TV series The Abbey, which was on the ABC a few years ago. We're going to hear from Bruce Downs, the Catholic guy. He'll be on the show, and we'll also hear a great message from Peter Gilmore about slowing down. Trish McCarthy, she's a sports person, a scripture teacher, a trainer, general champion. She's prepared a really nice input for us today. And Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love, that wonderful group of men and women who are all about sharing the gospel in our world, will also join us today. Real honour today, though, apart from everything else, to be speaking to Archbishop Julian Porteous. He's the Archbishop of Hobart, and he's going to be talking to us about ways we can share our faith based on some of the ideas in his new book on that topic of living and sharing your faith and joyfully. First up, and as always though, we're going to kick off the show with a focus on the scripture reading for the day, the gospel reading set down right around the world for this weekend for the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Matthew chapter 1, verse 28 to 32. This week, a reflection has been prepared for us by Father Richard Healy. After that, we're going to hear from Brooke Fraser, her version of Distant Son. I reckon it's better than the original. So, let's get into it. Whether you're listening in your car or via live streaming or podcast at www.radio.dow.org.au, it's great to have you listening in to this week's show. Faith, hope, love and life. Let's dive into this week's edition of The Journey.
Here's this week's reflection on the gospel.
Jesus tells a parable to the religious leaders in Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. The parable is in answer to their question, "By what right are you doing that?" For country bumpkin Jesus had come into the temple and acted with great authority, as if he owned the place. Two sons are asked to go and work in their father's vineyard. One says no, but then ends up going. The other says yes, but doesn't in fact go. At a simple level, the parable emphasizes that doing is more important than mere words. On a deeper level, the religious leaders imagined that they were doing the will of God, yet they refused to believe in both John the Baptist and now in Jesus. But those who seemed to be a long way from God, like the tax collectors and other sinners, who were regarded as deeply sinful and as violators of the law, they had responded to the call of John to repentance. The challenge of this passage for us today is partly this, to make sure that we are responding to Jesus, allowing him to confront us at any point where we have been like the second son and said yes to God, while in fact going off in another direction. Secondly, the powers of that age were deeply challenged by the things that Jesus was doing. So a good question to ask us, the followers of Jesus today, is what should we be doing that would challenge the powers of the present world with the news that Jesus is indeed its rightful Lord? What would provoke people to ask us similar questions? What stories should we be telling that would help people to find the source of true life? We have said yes to God by being part of the church. Let us say yes again by actively welcoming and encouraging others to join us in this field hospital for all the sick and needy in our world. Grace and peace. This is Father Richard Healy from St. Paul's in Camden.
Faith, hope, love and life. This is The Journey.
Tell me all the things you would change. I don't pretend to know what you want. When you come around and spend my talk, time and again, time and again. No fire away, I lit my spark. I am not afraid of the dark. With your words devour my heart and put me to shame, put me to shame. And you say, still so young to travel so far, and old enough to know who you are, wise enough to carry the scars without any blame. There's no one to blame. It's easy to forget what you learned, waiting for the thrill to return, feeling your desire burn and drawn to the flame. And your seven worlds collide, but never end by your side. Death from a distant sun will shower.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness. Here's Sister Hilda with Wisdom from the Abbey.
The jasmine is starting to come out at our abbey. A few daffodil flowers have also poked their heads out of their greenery. And everything in me rebels. It isn't spring yet, I called out to them. It isn't time for you to be blooming. You got the wrong story. Sadly, a whole range of other flowers are taking a leaf out of their book. And I feel even more cheated. Why? Because I like winter. I find summer hard. And somehow to skip all that is winter makes summer unending. I think our God was very smart to invent the seasons. I know some parts of the world don't have it as clearly delineated as we do, but they have seasons of sorts nonetheless. We need seasons to so correctly mirror and message our passage through life, our life with God. We need spring when everything is new, when a fresh start is possible after all our mistakes. We need the sight of new buds and crisp early mornings. We need summer. We need activity, good Christian activity of practical self-giving. We need to work for our daily bread from the Father. Summer is the time to build. We need autumn, when we join God in his paddock and reap the harvest of our labours with him. We need cooler weather to give us another burst of energy to keep going. Autumn is usually when Easter happens for us, a beautiful time of gentle new life. We need winter, when we take time apart to sit by the fire with God and reflect on where and how our life is together. We need winter to deepen and nourish our relationship with the Lord. As someone far smarter than me once said, we need to waste some time with God in prayer. And if all we do is sit by the fire with him, that's enough. Each day in our life with God should in fact have all four seasons wrapped into it. To skip any of them is to live an unbalanced life. If your life is all summer, when do things get planted? If your life is all sitting by the fire, when do you work? If your life is all about what is new, When do you savour the mature wine of the spiritual life? God lives all his seasons in your life. Perhaps today you'll catch sight of them and resolve to live them.
Welcome back to The Journey. We've just heard from Sister Hilda Scott with her wisdom from the Abbey, and this week she gave us a great little story she called The Jasmine, all about the wisdom of God in the seasons of our earth and our lives. Now, Sister Hilda said she isn't a big fan of summer in that piece. You can have that to yourself, Sister Hilda. Give me summer, surf and cricket any time of the year, thank you very much. And that's all on its way pretty quickly already. A few places have started up in the first few weeks of cricket season, and in quite a few places around Australia, the surf life-saving flags are going up as well for the spring-summer season of swimming. If you're listening into The Journey for the first time this week, well, hello. Hope you like what you've heard so far. But there's even more good stuff to come. And if you haven't heard Trish McCarthy speak before, well, this week you're in for a real treat. This week, this awesome woman of God is talking about getting creative in her milk and honey segment that she prepares each and every week on The Journey. She's getting quite a following, and rightly so too. First up, though, a bit more music. Here's Jake Naughter with Nothing Left to Lose. Faith, hope, love and life. You're tuned to The Journey.
Time for Milk and Honey with Trish McCarthy.
Recently, as it comes in ebbs and flows, I tapped into my creative side. Every now and then, I find the need to express myself in ways other than movement and word, which are my primary ways. I was playing with a piece of modelling clay, and a profound thought struck me. It's not one thing, it's many things that shape our life and being. Now you might think, Trish, that's not that profound. But let me explain and hopefully give you some encouragement. If we were to just use one finger, one point of pressure, to mould our clay, symbolic of our life and being, I dare say the end result would be less than impressive and not reach its full potential. However, God, in God's infinite wisdom, uses many things to shape our life and being. As I played with the clay, I used my two hands, my palms, many fingers, my vision, physical and mental, my senses, imagination, creativity. I used mistakes and adjustments. I used external tools and added and subtracted various amounts of clay, varying degrees and directions of pressure and imprints. I even let it sit and rest for a while. In the same way, God uses similar things to sculpt and create the most perfect expression of our total being. You and I are on a unique journey, marked with the fingerprints of God, under the gentle guidance of God's loving hand. You may wish to get your hands on some modelling clay this week and experience just what it is that I'm talking about. Trust the journey. Travel lightly. Go gently and love deeply. You are perfect in every way.
You're listening to The Journey, great Christian radio for the whole family.
Welcome back to The Journey. I hope you're enjoying this week's show today, wherever you are, right around the country. Again, a really big welcome to all our relatively new listeners up in Port Macquarie, those tuning in down in Bendigo, in the Illawarra, Sydney, Gippsland, Albury, Wodonga, in fact, all over the place. It's great to have you listening in wherever you are, either live through your local Christian radio, online, or via podcast at www.radio.dow.org.au. We've had some really solid interviews the last few weeks with Dr. Ben Wyker, and then participants from the Proclaim Conference in Sydney. And we're really lucky this week to have been able to score an interview with Archbishop Julian Porteous about his new book, which is all about sharing your faith effectively and joyfully. And I'll tell you something, Archbishop Julian is one of those men who just naturally exudes joy because of his walk with God. So let's get into this interview with the Archbishop of Hobart, the Most Reverend Julian Porteous. I'm here with Archbishop Julian Porteous, Archbishop of Hobart, and he's joined me on the journey at the Proclaim Conference. Archbishop Julian, thanks very much for joining us on the journey.
It's a pleasure.
Archbishop Julian, what have you thought of the Proclaim Conference?
It's been a very inspiring conference, I think, for all that all the people who have come to attend it. The focus of the conference has been very much on the question of how we can rebuild, re-energise, if you like, our parishes. And it was very good the other day. We had representatives from other churches talking about their own challenges in this regard. So I think one of the things that's very evident is that Christian people generally are asking, how can we strengthen and build up our base communities, which are our parishes?
Archbishop, it was a wonderful thing, as you said, to have people from the Baptist Church, from the Anglican Church, and from the Pentecostal Church come to speak to a room full of Catholic leaders about what they're doing well, but also what they're finding challenging. Hasn't ecumenism come a long way?
It certainly has, and I think the encouraging thing for everyone there was the fact that we're facing the same sorts of challenges, and because it's the same society that we're all in, and the same challenges that we're meeting in terms of the influences on people's lives, the busyness of life, all those sorts of things which are really making it a new challenge for us to find out ways in which we can encourage people to live their faith, and particularly to live it within our basic communities, our parish communities.
Bishop Julian, you probably don't know this, but many, many years ago, I think way back in 1983, 84, when I was about 14 years old, I went to a thing called Jesus Christ at Belmore Oval, and a Father Julian Porteous was right behind the running of it. It's had a huge impact upon me, well, and so many young people. To this day, I keep running into people who are my age now going, were you there? It's a bit like Woodstock in, I suppose, Christian formation for so many people within the Catholic Church. Can you give us a bit of a snapshot of your journey into priesthood from Father Julian to Bishop Julian to Archbishop Julian Porteous?
Jude, that's a wonderful piece of news. A delight to hear that. One of the things that you do as a priest and anybody who's involved in Christian ministry is you're busily doing what you can to proclaim Christ, the Christian way of life, and draw people to discover the richness and beauty of the Christian life. And often you don't really know whether you've been able to have an impact, an impression, or you've been able to influence people's lives. So it's always wonderful, Jude, to hear stories like that. That somebody, a 14-year-old, was there on that occasion, and it was something that had an impact. That has really been my journey. I was ordained a priest in 1974, and at the beginning of my priesthood, I felt a strong desire to find the ways that I could help people, young people in particular, to discover what I discovered in my own Christian life, particularly to discover what it meant to live a life inspired by and in close communion with Jesus Christ. And so I always had this as at the heart of everything I've done as a priest. So Jesus Christ, the Belmore Oval, I think spells out what I was seeking to do was present. We had music and we had young people giving testimonies, we had some preaching and particularly offering opportunities for people to respond to what they heard on that evening. So that's what I've always been doing in one way or another throughout the years of my priestly ministry, and it's continued. Then I became a bishop in 2003, and now I'm an archbishop in Hobart in Tasmania, and the same fire burns in my heart today as it did back in the 80s when you were at Jesus Christ at Belmore Oval.
Archbishop Julian, you're obviously a very busy man, but not so busy that you haven't been able to take time out to write a book. Perhaps you wrote it over a long period of time. And it's a book all about the new evangelisation. It's strategies for the church at the beginning of the third millennium. Can you tell us, first of all, for any of our listeners who don't know, what is the new evangelisation that we keep hearing about?
This is a term that has gained a bit more currency, if you like, in the church, mainly because of Pope John Paul II. It was a term that he began to use reasonably early in his own time as being Pope. And he spoke about the fact that the time has come to find a new way of communicating the gospel in the contemporary culture. In one sense, he makes a distinction between that first proclamation, say the missionaries going off to darkest Africa kind of idea, if like that was a first or primary evangelization. But he said now you've got cultures that have been traditionally Christian, you've got environments now that have a Christian heritage in one way or another. And in one sense, people can say, well, we know about Christianity, you know, it's been there, maybe that's my family tradition or my background, but I've passed beyond it, or I don't see it as having any relevance or value for my life. And so they've moved to a stage, if you like, of putting Christianity to one side. And Pope John Paul is saying, we've got to find new ways in which we can communicate the timeless message of Christianity in this new cultural context. So he used the word the new evangelization, if you like, to say that we have to find something which is new in its enthusiasm. He used the word ardour in its way of communicating the message in particular. And that's something that has been a particular encouragement, inspiration to me in my own priestly journey as I've begun the work of evangelization. Then as the culture has unfolded over the 40 years or so I've been a priest, I'm sort of say, how can we continue to communicate, present the gospel, particularly to those people who maybe have felt it's got nothing to offer to their lives?
Time for a quick break. More of this interview with Archbishop Julian Porteous after this song, He is Faithful, by Katie Tewalt. Faith, Hope, Love and Life. You're tuned to The Journey.